Future presentation.
Welcome back to The Cast of Us, an untitled HBO's The Last of Us podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Rohrbeck, alongside, he's allergic to tomatoes, but not mushrooms, Eric Marchin.
Happy New Year, Matt.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know, just watching Last of Us Season 2, and oh boy, there is going to be a lot here to discuss, and I feel like you're going to have a lot of depth and insight when it comes to the comparisons, obviously, to the game.
I'm going to try, but
We have to be spoiler-free, too.
Yeah,
so
that's what I want to say right off the rip, that by the time you're listening to this, we're a little bit late just due to some personal stuff that's going on, and you know, but we are going to do a complete review of Season 2 of The Last of Us, but it's going to be also completely spoiler-free. That's going to be a little tricky, but we are not, I have a list of spoilers we literally can't say anything about. So we know what to avoid, and we're going to do our, you know, we're not going to spoil anything. I think Eric and I are quite good at dancing around things and stuff like that. But again, if you've not played the game and you're just watching the series and you've only seen episode one and you don't even, well, I would say avoid this maybe until later.
Well,
but
even fans of the video game, because yeah, you were telling me, you know, off mic that there's a lot of stuff in this season.
Even episode one, which I will talk about in our recap. Yeah. So I will say Eric and I are going to do recaps of every episode, much like we did last season. I know we stopped with the final two, but we do have the full season one recaps out right now. We also do have a recap out for season two, episode one. So you guys can check those out. And we'll be doing that weekly, where we will be going into spoilers. We'll be covering the whole episode that just premiered the night before, as well as the differences in the game, kind of Eric's opinion as a newcomer to this story, and my opinion as a diehard Last of Us fan who's played the games multiple times and things like that. That's what this show is. So even this review, you're going to get a perspective from someone who has played the video games multiple times and now watched the seasons multiple times, has seen season two all the way to the end. And then Eric, who is a newcomer who had never touched the video games, knew a little bit of them based off of, you know, stuff I've told you and you've heard me
through osmosis
rave about for the last 10 years, but your perspective as a newcomer as well. So I'm stalling, because if you don't want to know anything, bail out, but we are going to be completely spoiler free and kind of just, this is our first general thoughts of the season, impressions of the season as a whole. And then we'll be doing those spoiler breakdowns where we can kind of get into more detail about, you know, all those differences and things like that. So this will be completely spoiler free, just so everyone knows. But yeah, we can get right into it, dude. Do you want me to start or you to start as the newcomer? I don't know what people want, whose opinion they want more, but
well,
like,
Matt, I think you should talk about it, but I'll prompt you with, you know, this is season two is adapting part two of The Last of Us, the game.
That's correct.
Right? It's not part one. Part one is done.
The Last of Us part one was told in season one.
Yes.
The Last of Us part two might be this season, might be more seasons than this one. I mean,
it just got announced that there is going to be a season.
There's going to be a season three, and Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann have talked about that. It would be very difficult to adapt The Last of Us Part Two in one season. We're not allowed to say where this story ends if it tells the whole season or the whole game of The Last of Us Part Two. But I mean, I think with the announcement that it's being renewed, as well as this game being absolutely massive, I think you can kind of understand that this is, you know, not the complete story of The Last of Us Part Two. But that being said, you know, even in some other reviews I've seen, that people say it's a great season of television, but feels incomplete. I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think television is made to be a continuous kind of serialized storytelling. So like that doesn't bother me that
much.
As much
compared to a film.
Yeah, exactly. So when you split a movie up into a part one, part two, it feels like, all right. And
cowards.
I do. And I do think in a season of television, I still like to have kind of a full character arc, or I still like it to be telling a full story. And I think this season of The Last of Us does a pretty good job of telling at least a full story from a certain one character's perspective, right? Yes.
And can I say something about that?
Yeah, well, please, really before I start. Yeah,
I'm not going to spoil anything, but I think also this season will be helped when season three comes along. I think that season two and season three, like once season three is here and we've seen it, we've talked about it, I think people are going to look back at season two and maybe there is some negativity or criticism towards it not feeling complete. But I think once it's done, the season two and season three, I think people will look back at season two and be like, wow, that was really underrated.
I definitely agree. And it's already getting good reviews. And I will say, as a huge fan of The Last of Us, I think this is a perfect or near perfect adaptation of what I believe is the best video game of all time. I always say Super Mario RPG is my favorite video game of all time. But the best video game I've ever played, I believe, is The Last of Us Part 2. And I'll stand by that. I did an hour long, almost like monologue of The Last of Us Part 2 when I reviewed the video game on this channel. Or actually over on Untitled Movie Podcast. I forget how we're splitting this up all the time. But
it's there if you want to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, it is. Good. And I love that game, and I think much like the first season of this show, it takes what's amazing about that video game and does a perfect adaptation in the sense of taking what will work for television and removing the stuff that would only work in a video game, and then also adding depth to the story by adding new characters to give you new context of certain situations, adding new character relationships that we didn't really get in the video game. It kind of further develops like side characters like Jesse and Tommy and Isaac and even the entire town of Jackson, which is kind of just there in the game. But here they kind of explore more of what they're dealing with as well. I think Bella Ramsey is absolutely phenomenal this season. You know, we did a recap of season one, episode 7-8 the other day. And I said how Ellie felt like she was that episode, she was coming into her own, but even the performance felt like she was faking it a little bit. But then that, I think, is very intentional. I think Bella Ramsey has come into her own in this character, especially with the big time jump at the beginning of this season. And I think she is absolutely amazing. I think Pedro Pascal is still obviously great as Joel. I think newcomers like Caitlin Dever and Isabella Merced are great. And then Catherine O'Hara as a new character in this season is so good, dude. And it gives you, without having to have characters have internal monologue, her character is so smart in developing Joel and how he's feeling over this time. And just her arc throughout this season, I think, is fantastic. And her connection to the story, both personal and kind of removed as a
just
therapist.
Shout out to Catherine O'Hara for this. Is a studio too, man.
She's like, crushing
it's amazing.
It
is so awesome because like that's a character when you first see, you know, Gail, you think, okay, are they just going to lean into Catherine O'Hara's, you know, characteristics as a performer and just like, you know, coast on that and kind of bring her into this and make her almost like levity or something like that, or turn her into a caricature. It doesn't, you know, it finds a way to subvert those actions. And I just wanted to go back and say what you're talking about before, about how this is, you know, a departure from the game. Like, you know, it's taking obviously, you know, the landscape, the mapping of it and putting it on the page. But I think it's also good for Neil Druckmann and Haley Rose and Craig Mazin.
Haley Goss.
Goss, pardon me. Yeah. Goss and Craig Mazin to do something a little bit different for the television show, for themselves even. Because
Sure.
You know, like, it's like, well, if you've played the game or you've created the game, it's like, and you're just retelling it for, you know, another medium, it's almost like maybe you get a little bit bored or lose passion in telling those stories. So I think even for them, all three of them, you know, like it just gives them a little bit more to work with.
Yeah. And I think it's just almost gives you a second chance as well, where I think that game was obviously critically well received. It did bring a level of vitriol from, you know, an online community that gets very loud about these things, right?
Star Wars and Marvel.
Exactly. It's that same crowd, Zack Snyder, you know, stuff like that. Like where it's almost it's a vocal minority where they will say that they're the majority, but I think most people really enjoyed that game. I'm not saying that that game is devoid of, you know, criticisms, and it is perfect. I love that game and think it's perfect and think its themes and everything that it's doing is amazing. But there is a subsect of people that have an issue with the second game and things like that. And I feel like, you know, I think they've taken that and looked at that and tried to go, okay, how do we adapt this for TV to make it one more palatable for a television audience? That doesn't mean it's watering down anything that I just mentioned, but I do think what I was surprised about is how upfront they were about Abby's intentions in this season, which
they're
is
bracing
much different
for impact.
Than that. Yeah, and stuff like that. So that was the stuff that surprised me. Like, it definitely takes elements from the game and reorders them and puts things much earlier and then takes things out. So, like, I think all the changes, though, much like season one, like I just mentioned, are worthwhile. And I think that they actually add depth to the story and to the characters. And I think that I think it'll ultimately help, to your point, when you get season three and season four, maybe, of how this story all works together, that I think I'm kind of totally okay with the changes that they've made, and I actually think it's ultimately improved this story. Mind you, I think the games will always be my Joel and Ellie. I think it's ultimately, you know, the people who read a book before seeing the movie, right? You fall in love with this thing.
Well, because that was your point of entry, right?
Yeah, and I love it, right? So it's always, I even realized this watching season one, it took me my second watch of season one to like fully, truly love the television show, because there's always that part of me that is comparing it to the game. It's comparing it to Ashley Johnson and Troy Baker and like, in that version of Ellie and Joel. And it's hard for me to remove that or know which aspects of the story. And I can remove myself and go, okay, that was a good change to the story and things like that. But there's always a part of me that's thinking about the game when I'm watching the show and knowing that that's the Joel and Ellie I fell in love with. So I find that I have to give this another watch to fully appreciate it, and mind you, I can't wait to watch it week to week, because we did binge it, both you and I, and I don't necessarily think that that's the best way to watch this.
Well, also,
but
we're lucky to have seen all seven episodes, and a couple of them aren't completely finished yet, and
that's
so
true too. Yeah,
we don't want to take for granted that we're lucky to have seen it. We're grateful, but it's nice to see when it's all finished, especially episode seven, where you could tell there's still a lot of work to be done.
Which is the season finale, which was, that was kind of tough, but you could still appreciate the story elements and things like that. But a lot of the special effects and different things weren't finished in that last episode.
Can I ask you a question?
Please, yeah.
Do you think, without spoilers, that there is an episode in this season that is as good as episode three of season one?
I'd say episode six gets very close. But no, if I'm being completely honest, like, I don't think so. Episode three of season one is truly, truly special. And I think there are a lot of great episodes, and I think especially episode six, Neil Druckmann's, episode where he directs that episode, I think, adds a lot of, new elements that weren't in the game and things like that. And I think is a beautiful, beautiful episode. But something about that episode three, I think that's still the best episode of this series. Yeah. And I don't think you need to do that again. Right. You don't like, I think this season works, on its own without having to tell a bottle episode like that. I guess six is as close as you get to a bottle episode, but
I mean, there's a lot going on in this season as well. Yeah. That I still think will be very
well,
emotional.
This game will be, there's a lot going on in this game. Yeah. Right. And I think that they've found a way to make it, to adapt it for TV. And I cannot wait to see what they do in the next season, but yeah, I think it's, thrilling. I think some of the updates that they've done to, the infected are really cool without getting into any like super details about it. Like, there's some great action set pieces that weren't even in the game. And that's what I remember in season one with the sniper sequence and that whole thing, and how they adapted that gameplay into the show. And I feel like they've done that really well this season as well of adapting certain gameplay moments into something that's also engaging for an audience to watch, because I think that's the biggest thing. And most of the stuff they've removed are the pure gameplay elements, right? Like there is a lot of moments where, you know, Ellie's going on her patrol, and then there's a whole sequence in the game that they have to put something in there for you to explore or, you know, attack you and things like that. But
is that her first patrol when you're playing?
Yeah, certain. Character? Yes. Like, and in the game you play that, and there's more to it than in this, but I also love what they've done with Dina and Joel as well. They never really had a relationship in the game at all. And I think that they've done Isabella Merced. Is it Merced?
Merced. Yeah. Dora the Explorer.
Yeah. Is excellent this season. And I think adding that relationship, I think really adds to the story. I thought that was excellent.
I need to say something
well.
Though. I don't know if I'm allowed to even say it, cause I don't know if it's spoiler or not, but there's something about, I like her. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There is something very strange, though, about her doing this and then also doing Alien Romulus.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah.
And I thought of that when I watched Alien Romulus.
She was cast at that point, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And I definitely knew that while watching Romulus and thought of that exactly.
I was just thinking, like, this, could you imagine it happens the same way as Alien Romulus?
Yeah. No. Yeah. God. Yeah, I'm trying to dance around things. And I think we won't go super long in this review because I just want it to kind of be first impressions, because I really do want people to experience this story for themselves and as clean as possible if they haven't played the game.
But even if they have played the game, like we're talking about now, I think there are, like you're talking about, there are surprises and changes that people, you know, that have played the game will come into this and you know, whether they're critical in a negative way or a positive way, at least it gives them something new as well. And it's not just simply telling it, you know, shot for shot or one-to-one.
Yeah. And it's still very much the same story that you know from the game, but there is enough there that I think improves the story. And also, to your point, for people who played the game and know it front to back, enough changes for you to feel like you're not just watching cutscenes from the game. And I think that's a huge strong point. But I've been talking a lot, Eric. You've kind of given your thoughts a little bit, but how'd you feel overall?
Well, I'll just, you know, sum it up in that Rotten Tomatoes kind of way. The Last of Us Season 2 pulls no punches, expertly expanding apocalyptic morality on the dark passage between justice and retribution. Episode 6 hits the hardest with Neil Druckmann's distancing direction and Bella Ramsey's vehement performance. Catherine O'Hara might be the MVP. And thinking about like little things, like I don't want to give too much away, but there's one very harrowing action set piece that involves the collapsing of a chain fence and becoming more and more claustrophobic as a character is wiggling through. Things like that are so effective and also just like very simple, but like it, you can tell that they took a lot of time to think it through, and like you don't really feel any effects of the writer's strike or the actor's strike on this, because I think it is also a show that benefits because there are so many moving parts into one place. I couldn't help, and this isn't you know making fun of the show or like this isn't because of the show's fault, but because one section of this season takes place in a certain location, I was thinking of a certain psychiatrist in this area. And also because, you know, Catherine O'Hara's character, Gail, is a psychotherapist. So you can't help but think about, you know, the location I'm referencing. I don't know if can mention the location.
I think the location we know, you know, the story takes place in Seattle mostly.
Yes, so Frasier. Yeah. I was thinking Frasier the whole time. And it's hard not to. But it is a very well-made season. There are some very beautiful shots in sort of the adventure, the movement, how they introduce certain characters and certain factions, I think also will be projected in terms of like, what is it saying and what does it represent in our time? because I almost got a little bit of the Israeli-Palestine conflict.
Oh, that's what I talk about with some of the criticisms of.
I'm not saying it's a criticism. I think maybe I was projecting.
Well, Neil Druckmann is Jewish, and yes. and a lot of that he's put into The Last of Us, and I think that's he's been both open about it, and I think, or I don't know if he's been totally open
but
about
he,
it.
He,
I don't
the,
know.
The show itself is not taking sides either.
But then that's his whole thing where people, some of the criticism is that he's not really taking a side and he's saying both sides are bad kind of thing, that whole thing, which some people, and I understand that criticism and everyone's, you know, has their opinion on stuff. And I think part of the people that are outside of those, the Last Jedi, Star Wars kind of guys that are just mad that, you know, of certain things in this game, there are people who have valid criticisms about its political stances and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, the LGBTQ, you know, two plus, like that stuff, like, is like, you know, it's represented here in RoboCop, three star himself, Robert John Burke. Yeah. But I even like that character and how he's a little bit more complicated than just that one scene. I mean, obviously what he does is bigoted and homophobic, but you know, like there's more to that performance than, you know, you would expect there to be. And I think that's why like a TV show gives you more time to develop even smaller characters like that, or when,
because you know, in the game you don't get that, and that whole, that's what I mean by developing Jackson and the people in Jackson. All those people are characters, well, not all of them, but Seth is in the game, but it's very much just that one moment at the dance that's the only, and the next morning that you get of that character. But what I liked is that which I actually thought was sort of funny, is like the bureaucracy of the town, of them at that meeting and having the council and stuff like that. None of that is in the game, right? So
I love Jesse's character for that as well. And like what is being, you know, the pressure that's being put on that character, and kind of feeling like, you know, he's still young, but also the weight of responsibility of him being the next generation to be a successor, and also, you know, his relationship to Ellie and you know, Dina, to Dina and all of that. Like, I love all that. And Bella Ramsey's performance here, what they're doing as an actor, you know, it's a complicated role, because there are times where I didn't like Ellie, admittedly. I think Ellie can be selfish, and she's very much acting the way that Joel did in season one.
Yes.
And even more so where, you know, she's Ellie, the character, she's putting herself above the, you know, the priorities of a town. And what Bella Ramsey does here, you know, is proving the haters wrong, and their performance is just so interior, like it's interior to who Ellie is, and you just feel as though once we get to episode 6 and we have a better understanding of Joel and Ellie's relationship and where they are, you feel like the character has grown even more, you know, in the sense of you know, the journey to get to Wyoming in season 1, you know, Ellie went through so much and had to change, and but now Ellie truly is becoming an adult, and with that, things are more complicated.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gray zones. There's a lot of, are you acting on your own best interests, or are you thinking about other people? You know, like even there's this a great speech that Ramsey has in a town hall meeting. And it just feels like, okay, this character is really starting to become the leader and the face of the show. And so with that, like, it's just exciting when you see a character change. Like, you know, Ellie's still a smart owl. Like, Ellie still very much is, like, you know, very much
is Ellie.
Ellie. But there is something about it as well where, and I think it is because of Ramsey and what they're doing, is that there's something where, you know, there's complexities within just small gestures and expressions, and yeah, like there are times where you side with Ellie, and then there are times where you're like,
yeah,
I don't know if you're doing the right thing in this situation. And then it's like, man, you are really acting like a child here. And then there are times where it's like, oh no, now you're getting it. You're an adult, and you're facing conflict, and you're standing up to things, and you're you know, wanting the truth. And so like, there's just so much, it's so rich in
that's what I mean with the hate coming from love and the cycle of violence and all that kind of stuff is the big themes of the game. And yeah, obviously Ellie as a character, she's complicated, but that jump from playing as Joel in the first game to playing as Ellie in the second game is exactly what you're saying. That shifting of perspectives and, you know, she was, it was very much a duo of in that first game, but because
like Hall and Oates.
Because I'm removing myself from the game, you only played as one character there, so it felt like Joel's story, right? Where even though it was both of them, and then in this one you play as Ellie. And thank you for using Bella Ramsey's proper pronouns. I might have improperly used them before, so I apologize for that. But they go by they, them. So thank you for that, Eric.
And
but,
they're autistic, so you know, I got to champion my fellow.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
But they're wonderful in this. Like
they are.
Like
yeah.
I know there was a worry of like, and again, it's just like looks of the character for season one, but their performance in this whole like season one, season two, it's like they found the perfect Ellie.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think some people were caught up with the time jump because in the game, Ellie looks much different in the first game to the second game, right? Like that time jump of 5+ years.
That's the thing where I do find like they're like when, even when they're talking about Joel being in his 60s, right? It's like, yeah, that's the one thing I don't find completely believable, but also
in,
those, like,
in the first sequence,
do?
Exactly. In the first sequence, the first episode, he's supposed to be like 35, right? Like our age. And then he jumps to 60 something this season. And I think Pedro's
That's a rough 35, even though he's a handsome man. But,
no,
but
I know. They had to de-age him a little bit with the hairstyle and makeup and stuff like that. But I think Bella Ramsey is perfect. It's a different Ellie, but
it's different from the game. Like the game is not going to change. You're still going to have
that's
the game.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So I don't think getting caught up on someone who doesn't look exactly like the character. There are moments this season with Bella Ramsey's performance when they sound like, I'm like, that is Ellie. Like it sounds like Ashley Johnson. Like it's perfect at times and then makes it their own at other times. So like, I thought that was all great. What else do I want to talk about that we can talk about? That's what's tricky about all of this.
I like
the
barbecue pun.
Yeah, lots of good puns. That's a big thing with Ellie, right?
But that was even in season one.
Yes,
know?
Exactly.
Like,
that's so good character development right there. Just character moments, right? Talked about the town. I liked the... I won't say what's in the 7-Eleven, but I like the 7-Eleven cameo.
I thought about you when
I loved the 7-Eleven because that is in a different place in the game. So I loved that it was in a 7-Eleven here. Talked about how they changed some of the relationships. I will say I thought Jeffrey Wright was great again, without going too much into detail into his
character.
I'll say
watch out,
but
Stanley Tucci. He's going to give you a run for his money if he wants to do a cooking show.
Yeah.
Get my drift. I quickly wanted to say with the, I had mentioned some of the politics, but also the survival stuff I think is really well done in terms of like what you have to consider about like packing and taking on a trip and like just something as simple as like beef jerky in terms of food. Like that's what you're going to eat because it doesn't spoil, right? Like just simple little things that maybe aren't a big deal, but like still feel very real, even if they're not in our world, you know, but it does feel realistic enough.
I absolutely agree. My notes here, I said changes just enough to feel familiar, but you don't know what's going to happen next. That's, I think, a great thing for the people who have played the game. I have tons of notes, but I'll have to use these in our spoiler
episodes.
Recap.
I will say this because this isn't a spoiler. It is interesting though, because we were mentioning how great Bella Ramsey is as Ellie, because it's also just fascinating to have Caitlin Dever in the role of Abby, because Caitlin Dever was rumored at one point to be playing.
Would have been a perfect Ellie, man. It was my fan cast, which I actually, that is such a great point, but keep going.
It's just interesting in terms of like, you find like the right sort of, you know, you pit somebody against that someone else that's their equal, you know?
And that's exactly why it's so perfect. It's, they're almost mirror characters, right? Yeah. Like, so having, I think the meta element to that, which I don't know is intentional or not. I think it is, because Abby, the one thing I think people worried about with Caitlin Dever as Abby was, she's not a physical presence like the Abby in the game. Abby is basically a hulking kind of, like, after, you know, it's so hard to dance around things. Abby gets very muscular and big in the game, and is almost this kind of opposite of Ellie, of being this physical, more like Joel, almost like a physical kind of force, where when you cast Caitlin Dever and they didn't kind of beef her up, they didn't, you know, do the Chris Evans Captain America thing or whatever and make her yoked out, like, it plays it more as their equals and that they're kind of mirror images of each other. And then
but
the
she
meta
has an anger. There's
yes,
an
but
anger
then
in that performance,
and then
that I think
there's
is
an anger
the
in Bella Ramsey's too, right? Yes.
Like, it feels like when Caitlin Dever gets mad at something.
Oh, she's
it feels
perfect,
like
dude.
A laser beam is being shot in your
exactly.
face.
And then that's what, you know, the character in the game was like that too. So I think Dever is perfect in the sense of, like, you guys wanted this person as Ellie, maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when they were going to, or even longer at this point, make it into a movie originally. And Dever would have been perfect, was one of my fan casts, like, perfect Ellie. So I think taking her and going, she'll play Abby now and being this kind of mirrored performance of Ellie, I think is almost very, very smart. And I don't think you needed to make her, you know, this physical force because of that anger you're talking about kind
of
works.
But she still is though, because
well,
of
she
like,
is a,
the
yeah.
performance, you know?
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, that character is really hard to talk about, but I think Caitlin Dever is excellent this season. And
there's
and
a vulnerability, is a great, I think, yeah. into that role, you know, from what we've seen. And I don't mean to, like, again, project or exploit in terms of, but I know she's been very upfront about having lost her mother recently. And I could see maybe that she tapped into some of that for the role in terms of, you know, the pain and anguish that that character is feeling. And even though, you know, you can be mad at Abby for certain things, you can understand the motivations for a character like that.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. I think we'll probably stop here because this is going to be very hard to talk about without spoilers. So I just think
but we'll be
I think,
back on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
you know, doing
it.
This.
It definitely lived. It like passed my very high expectations. Like I,
especially after season one, right? Like season one is, I think, nearly a perfect season of television.
I agree, and I think this continues that. And yeah.
And there's changes too. Like there, like I think change is a good thing for a show like this to grow and. Like, again, we can't get into a lot of it, but like, I even love the title credits of this show and what it does with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. But yeah, we'll talk about it on a weekly basis, doing those full breakdowns, and then we'll do kind of a big spoiler thing at the end as well. Thank you for your patience on all of this. Guys, I know it's been a rocky road with our rollout of our Last of Us content. So, but you know, you can really hear the passion, I think, both in, especially in me and now in Eric, who is a fan of the show. So we really love, I really love this story and think like you know, my wife asked me, she's like, can I know it's depressing and violent. And I'm like, I know, but it's like, I'm like, you watched Game of Thrones and that was depressing and violent. And I'm like, just push through it. It is 100% worth it.
Also
and,
had Bella Ramsey on.
Yes. And Pedro Pascal. No, I was going to make a Catherine O'Hara joke.
I mean, Catherine O'Hara would have crushed it on Game of Thrones.
Oh, she would have, dude. She would have. But yeah, I think it's absolutely, a wonderful season of television. It makes me go, man, I can't wait for the next season. And hopefully that wait, hopefully won't be as long as, you know, the 2 years we had to wait here. I hope that they were able to roll into it very quickly or even shot a lot of it, maybe back to back. Like I'd assume they did without saying too much, but, I cannot wait for the next season. And I'm in my head going, how many seasons are they going to do of just part two? So, I'm curious.
Well, because I mean, that's the only, because there, this isn't spoiler, this is talking about the game now, because there has been rumors that there might be a third game down the line if they can find the right story.
So Neil Druckmann is working on Intergalactic, The Heretic Prophet,
with a score by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Oh, man, the trailer is amazing. If you guys aren't even, if you don't even play games, just like, I'm sure they'll adapt that into either a movie or series one day as well, depending on, I guess, the reaction, but it's going to be amazing. Who are we kidding?
You're pilled, go, Matt. You're Neil Druckmann.
I am. Go watch that trailer. It's awesome. So he's talked about how they're not making Last of Us 3, or the story's complete and blah, 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 blah. But, and Mazin has talked about how he doesn't want to do the Game of Thrones thing, where they start making the show past where the game ended.
Right.
Like, he doesn't want to do that. He wants the game to come out first, if there is a part three, and then they'll adapt it after.
Well,
so,
smart. And I think that's also like fair to Druckmann as well, and not pressuring him even more, because like look at George R.R. Martin, right? Like, there's that feeling of like, oh, we're never, I don't think we're ever going to get
that last book.
So, you know, like that, I think that's being respectful of it and telling the story you need to. And from everything you've told me about Last of Us Part Two, even if we never get Last of Us Part Three, the game, I think, as you're saying, Last of Us Two is the satisfying conclusion.
Oh, it is. And I don't even know what they would do for Part Three. I know Druckmann did tease at the end of the documentary for Last of Us Part Two that he might have an idea for Part Three. That's where that's coming from. So I do think it's inevitable to get that and make it a trilogy, right? Like Part One, Part Two, Part Three. And I do think Part Three would be the end, at least from Druckmann doing, you know, Last of Us games. But you got to think the earliest we even get that game, unless they're working on it on two different teams, like one team's working on Intergalactic and one team's working on Last of Us Part Three, which I'm sure is happening just even from a pre-production standpoint. But Intergalactic's probably not coming out until 2027. So that's two more years.
We do have a trailer,
like,
for that.
I know, but like, games put out trailers way early just to like show you that. You know, we could be wrong and maybe it's coming next year and they are way ahead on it that we didn't know. But Last of Us Part Two came out in 2020, right as the pandemic happened, which was weird timing of that game. So it has been 5 years between games. So 2026 wouldn't be unheard of, but due to the size and scope of their games getting bigger and bigger, and Last of Us was such a beast, like, I could see that game being 2027. So you got to think, like, earliest you're getting Last of Us Part Three is like 2032 or something, right? Like, unless they're already working on it. But with Last of Us, you could use a lot of the engine that they already have, right? Like, and I'm sure Intergalactic's using that, but then they might take things that they learned in Intergalactic and put it into Last of Us Part Three. So unless there's another huge time jump, which there might be, right? So maybe they can take a hiatus on the show after season 3 and 4 and then come back with a season 5 in 5, 6, 7, 8 years, right? Like, do it more like a Star Wars kind of
legacy series
kind of sequel thing of just letting the characters age a bit, and
like
then
Twin Peaks the Return.
Yeah, I mean, it might do that. So if the game comes out, you know, in the 2030s, right? But
God,
I'm really curious.
40s.
I know, man, but then maybe we'll connect with it even more. But all right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. This review is both on the Untitled Movie Podcast channel as well as the Cast of Us channel. If you're listening to this on Untitled Movie Podcast, we'd love if you'd go subscribe over to the Cast of Us, where we're doing those weekly breakdowns that are spoiler filled and things like that. We also have reviews up right now for The Amateur and Warfare that you guys can check out. Eric's going to have a Film Junk crossover podcast that should be up very, very soon. He also has interviews with David Cronenberg, as well as for Until Dawn. There's another PlayStation adaptation, if you want to kind of stay in that realm. So lots of stuff that we're doing over the next couple of weeks. So keep it locked on both those channels. You can find everything over on our letterbox, which is Untitled_Movies.
My dogs are detecting fungus.
Yes, exactly. And then follow us on all those social medias at Matt Rohrbeck and at EM6211. Until next time.
Well, maybe I hear the news is calling for tossed salad and scrambled eggs.
Do you think he made, how long do you think Frasier made it through?
He died on day one.
Bye, everybody.